Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm Lisa Anderson. Very excited to be with you. I want to let you know, because we're coming down to the wire, that you only have a couple more days to register for Pursuit 2015 at our current rate of $225 before it goes up. So those of you who are listening, you need to hop over to boundless.org/pursuit and get registered. July 9th through 11th here in beautiful Colorado Springs. We know we had a fabulous time last year. This year will be no exception. So register. May 31st is the last day that you can register at the current rate before rates go up. So boundless.org/pursuit. Well, later on in the show, we're going to have a question answering the question, am I unapproachable? I mean, who hasn't like asked that at some point? Just wondering, or maybe that's just me. I don't know, but we're going to get some good insight on that. And then for our culture segment, we have Oz Guinness to talk about his book, God in the Dark. Many of you know Oz Guinness. He's been around like forever just as a theologian, as a speaker, as an author, as a cultural analyst. And here he's going to tackle the issue of doubt. What does that mean to doubt? Is it okay to doubt? But here we are for our roundtable. I'm excited to have actually a couple in the studio with me. Usually it's a random, you know, just hodgepodge of, a ragtag following of people. We have fun with them too. But actually I have Micah and Tiffany Sage here with me. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Great to have you guys in the studio because we're going to tell, they are going to be part of telling a story today, their story, which I think has great, will have great impact on a lot of people, and just really a story of God's goodness in the midst of a journey that has involved, you know, everyone thinks, you know, that everyone else's lives are just picture perfect and they've made all the right decisions and they've trusted God their whole lives and stuff. And then we find out, you know, we think we're the only ones that haven't. But then we see that God truly grows us in our faith through a number of different experiences. So thanks, you guys, for being here. So I want to start kind of at the beginning of the story, which kind of begins with you, Micah, dating, not being a believer. When did you become a believer? When did you accept Christ?
That was 2003.
Okay. Yeah. And you were how old?
I was 21.
Okay. Yeah. So 21.
So now we all know how old I am.
Okay. That's okay. So you were 21, but you were actually dating prior to this. Tell us about your experience. You were dating what, like a pastor's daughter?
I was, yeah. I was, I met a girl through some friends. Mm-hmm. From home. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And I was going to school in Ohio, and I was home for the summer, and some friends introduced me to a girl I just started dating, and she was a pastor's daughter and a believer, a mm-hmm. Christian, and we just struck up a relationship over the summer, and then we just kept it going long distance because she was going to school in St. Louis. So
okay, now did she know that you weren't a Christian, or were you kind of trying to play it off like you were, or assuming you were?
I wasn't pretending.
Okay.
I grew up in a family where I was in a traditional church, so I was going to services weekly, but I just my faith wasn't mine, mm-hmm. and I think she knew that mm-hmm. already, because mm-hmm. She had asked me out to her church a few times, and it wasn't the church that her dad was pastoring at the time, but. Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit, like move us along in the story of the direction that your relationship took and kind of what happened and really a pivotal moment for you.
Yeah, sure. So we dated sophomore year and junior year. And during the course of that time, it became a physical relationship, mm-hmm. To be honest. So, but I had no restraints on my own. Mm-hmm. I mean, my faith wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. And so nothing was really constraining me. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely led her astray for sure. Mm-hmm. And then it was after midterms of my junior year, I got an email from her. I had actually spent probably that night partying because midterms had just finished. But mm-hmm. that next morning I woke up and I got an email from her and said, I've been trying to tell you this all week. I know that you've been stressed, so I haven't really been I have a hard time kind of bringing this up, but, you know, I got pregnant and I had an abortion.
And this was all within the span of, I mean, this was really a decision that she made on her own. And it had been really, like, so she just found out she was pregnant, made the decision right away, and had the abortion right away.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I was going back at least once a month or so to St. Louis to visit, or she would come up to visit Ohio. And so I think I would have known if she was far along.
Okay.
So it was a complete shock. I had no idea that.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Tell us about your reaction, like when you heard the news.
I was quite scared. Mm-hmm. I was in complete shock. I was reading it and I don't think I read the whole thing. I stopped and I don't know if it was like a robot maneuver or something, but I just started packing a bag and I drove back to St. Louis to see her. And, I forgave her, pretty much on the spot. I mean, that was a long drive. I mean, it's already a 5+ hour drive, but I was thinking about it the whole time. And I just thought, you know, I really got to just forgive her. And a lot of it was just cause I felt like that was what a good guy should do or would do, but not out of any sort of faith or anything. Yeah. I just felt kind of just an obligation almost.
Well, and that's interesting to me. I'm just going to interrupt here for a second because most guys, I mean, especially a guy who doesn't claim to have any faith, you would think that you would have been relieved. Like, oh, good. You know, okay, well, you just dealt with that. So what do you think was happening in your spirit that you, that really you were at a point where you would forgive her? You know, I mean, it's almost like you would have thought, you know, oh, okay, well, good. Or at least have said, well, you know, it's your choice because it's your body, or having been operating in that sphere.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I knew. I knew that, I mean, and this is the part that really sickens me, is that part of me was a little relieved. And that to this day just, it just cuts to the core, you know, that I felt that way. But I don't know. I knew that I liked her a lot, and it was just, we'd been invested in one another's lives for long enough where I just felt like, well,
yeah,
I'm just going to forgive her. I don't know.
And was that pretty much then the end of the relationship, or what happened after that, and who did or not tell others? Like, was there any disclosure among people that you loved about this?
No, there wasn't, definitely not.
So you guys just lived in silence?
We did. We talked about it most of that weekend, and then after that we just carried on like nothing happened.
Okay. And how much longer did you date, or were you in a relationship?
For about another year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
So
okay, having, so neither of you really dealing with this either together or on your own. So it was just kind of like trying to put it in the past.
Exactly.
For that point and move on.
Yeah.
So obviously the relationship didn't work out. It ended for other reasons.
It did. Yeah. Well, that's a whole other story, but part of the larger story, I suppose, that about the next fall, that next semester rather of my junior year, I started going to Campus Crusade, meetings. Mainly because my roommates were going and they seemed to have a good time and they definitely did. I think you can speak into that, Tiffany.
Tiffany's like, yeah, it's a good time. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I know about that.
But I don't actually remember seeing you that year much at all. We didn't even go to that big of a college either, so you think we'd bump into each other more. But
yeah. And you even became a leader.
Yeah.
Like, so, not even being a believer.
Yeah, so that's the crazy
Hello,
part.
Hello, crew people. Please, let's evaluate our leadership. Well, no, I mean, that's just a side note.
Yeah, okay, but go ahead. I hope that doesn't throw anybody under the bus, but late, I guess.
I'm all about throwing people under the bus on this show, Micah, so, you know, no surprises there.
Yeah, no, so I was going and just enjoying it. I wasn't really going to church or anything, but I did go to Crusade, and I didn't do any Bible studies or anything that they offered, but I just went to their weekly meetings. And towards the end of the year, they were kept, I think like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, they made some announcement that, hey, we're looking for somebody to join the fundraising and finance committee, because we were a catalytic campus, which means we just didn't have leadership on campus. It was very student run.
Okay.
And so I think after the first 2 or 3 times, I said, well, I looked around and I don't think there's any business majors who come to these things. And so I said, well, I'm probably qualified. So if they make the announcement one more time, I'll just throw my hat in. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll I'll definitely join. And then he said, well, we really just need somebody to lead it. Would you mind doing that? And I actually did. I prayed about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, as much as I knew how.
Yeah.
And I said, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told him I would.
Well, so meanwhile in the club, there's this girl named Tiffany. And Tiffany, let's tell a little bit about, from your perspective, when do you first remember meeting Micah? And how, from your perspective, did you start getting to know him in the context of this?
The first time we met was the next year after that. Hmm. And his roommate was good friends with one of my roommates, and they all didn't have class on Fridays and started hanging out at our house and had movie nights on Thursday nights. And one of the nights I finally had my stuff done soon enough that I could join the movie night, and I came in kind of at the end, and the seat left was next to Micah, and I sat down, and that's where we actually first met and talked, and we think we'd seen each other maybe once or twice before that, but it wasn't like we never talked before that.
Okay. So this guy's in crew, and he's a leader in crew. How did you guys develop a friendship, and how long basically was it before you were like, I'm not really sure where this guy is spiritually? Because you were, I mean, spoiler alert, weren't you the one that eventually did kind of bring him around to a true faith in Christ and introduce him on that?
I would say she was more of the closer.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
if you,
yeah, well, I think of it more of a baseball analogy. You got the starting pitcher who's planting the seed of faith, and then you have relief pitchers along the way. And she was just the closing pitcher.
Kind of God put her in that sequence of helping you understand.
And purely as a friend too. I mean, we weren't.
Okay.
I mean, I liked her, but she was cool to hang out with.
Yeah. So. Okay. So what then to that point, Micah, talk about how, really, when did that moment come about where you realized, I need to have a real relationship with Christ. This needs to go in some direction where I take it internally into my spirit.
Sure. Yeah. So I was going to all these leadership meetings early in the year, mm-hmm. and actually even started going to one of the churches that some of the folks from our crusade were going to, or mm-hmm. should I say crew. Mm-hmm. and I was actually taught, I was still dating mm-hmm. the girl at the time, and it was long distance, and so we were on the phone, and she said, hey, I hear something in your voice. She just kind of stopped me in the middle of me telling some story, and she said, hey, I hear something in your voice. Are you okay? And I said, well, I'm fine. Kind of brushed it off, and honestly, I didn't think there was anything wrong. And then the next morning, for whatever reason, I was thinking about that comment and just stuck with me, and I'm like, well, am I okay? You know, is there something wrong? And so I just felt some stirring inside. Hmm. And so I had a Bible, and I pulled it out, and I just started flipping through, looking at all the headlines and trying to find something that was speaking to me. And, finally happened upon the calming of the storm at sea. And, I stopped and I started reading it, and, I read it again and again, probably 3 or 4 times before I actually started reading it out loud. Luckily my roommate was out, so he didn't think I was a complete weirdo just reading scripture spontaneously out loud. And I read it out loud 2 or 3 times, and it just started speaking to me more and more each time, and I just realized there's definitely a storm going on in my life, and I had no idea it was there. And I felt just that God was just calling me to learn more about him. And to make it real. And so I just felt moved to break up with my girlfriend at the time. And so I did. That next weekend I drove in and laid on the bad news, but was honest with her, did it in person, and just told her what happened. I actually told her what happened, and she was actually kind of excited because I think she knew that something good was going to happen. So
okay. And then how long was it, meanwhile you two are still friends, how long was it before you guys started dating?
Well, gee, that was what, August or September? So we didn't actually start dating until December. Okay. So it was a few months.
Okay. A few months. Yeah. Started dating, and you dated how long before you knew you were going to get married, before you got engaged or?
Before we got engaged, it was about like 11 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually there's a piece in the story that's kind of missing in that, I started joining a Bible study. I started mm-hmm. going to the church that some of the guys were going to mm-hmm. and was just embedded in all this fellowship. And I just didn't know. This was just so crazy because I'm just discovering this whole faith thing yeah. as I was going. And it was just more and more unreal and surreal. Mm-hmm. And, but I hadn't really, I still hadn't just really made a commitment yet, mm-hmm. you know? And so we were walking home, with a group of folks, from one of the crusade meetings, and Tiffany kind of came alongside and said, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?" And I said, "I don't know, just hanging out, I guess." Mm-hmm. I didn't really have any studies to do. And she's like, "Oh, why don't you hang out, you know, come out and hang out." So we were at her, dinner table and, in her apartment, and, I don't know where your roommates were, upstairs studying probably.
I don't know.
Or, hitting the town, who knows. And, anyway, so she had, I think you can speak into this more, but just had an inkling that there was something missing still. And mm-hmm. so she said, "Hey, I can kind of tell you're not quite all in, you know, mm-hmm. so what's kind of holding you back?" And I just mm-hmm. said, you know, I'd gone to a lot of retreats growing up and felt the warm fuzzies of being in fellowship and whatever it is, and as soon as the weekend was over, I'd come home, nothing had changed, mm-hmm. and I was still the same rotten idiot that I was before. And so I don't know exactly what she said, but what she did say just made me feel comfortable enough just to just pray and just be real with God, you know, accept it all the way.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was like a month or so after I accepted Christ, though, that I was praying just during my time of devotionals or quiet time, and she came on my mind, and mm-hmm. I was just praying about it, and I felt like God was saying, "Hey, you need to ask this girl out." Mm-hmm. You know, we were kind of to the point where we're hanging out a lot, and mm-hmm. it was pretty obvious that we had mutual feelings, but we're trying to do our best to not hang out exclusively yeah. together. Yeah. So we'd only hang out with other people who were around. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. to keep it real. And
so you're finally like, "We got to call this what it is."
And yeah, exactly. So yeah. It was definitely to that point, and I was just, and God was like, "You need to ask her out." And I pushed back. Actually, I was like, "There's no way this is from God." Mm-hmm. This is what I probably just want. And mm-hmm. I felt completely unworthy mm-hmm. from just my past relationships mm-hmm. that I would be asked to lead, be a leader in a relationship mm-hmm. That soon, especially.
Sure. Yeah.
And so it was one of the few times I actually got down on my hands and knees on my face praying. And I pushed back on God. He pushed back on me. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I gave in. Mm-hmm. And I caught Tiffany as she was jumping in the car to go home for Christmas break. And I said, "Hey, this is what I feel God asking me to do. Mm-hmm. I'd really like it if you go out with me. And but I don't want you to answer right away." I said, "Don't answer right away. I want you to pray about it too." So
it's one thing if you move into a relationship, and even if you're a newer believer and you're, like you said, you're on your face asking God for just wisdom and stuff. But when you know kind of where you'd come from, how did you make that transition? When did you feel comfortable telling her not only about your past relationships, but about the abortion itself and your role in that? Was that something that was easy to disclose, or was there a process there? Did you have any qualms about coming clean with that and wondering how she would react?
Definitely. I was worried. I actually, first when we were dating early on, I just told her that I'd had been in a physical relationship, mm-hmm. But I hadn't gone so far to tell her about the abortion. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until we were really close to, it was either we're going to get engaged or we weren't, you know, we had to make that, we're just at that apex. Mm-hmm. And I decided I needed to tell her mm-hmm. before then. I didn't want to tell her while we were engaged. I want to give her a chance to get out, mm-hmm. You know, to have a chance to be like, "You know what, this is too much for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get out." And, mm-hmm. So yeah, I did. I told her and,
Tiffany, what was your reaction? What do you remember thinking?
Well, So at the beginning of our relationship, we came up with this little like saying that we would say to each other. I don't even really know how that got started, but we would say, well, I'm not perfect and I don't expect you to be either. Mm-hmm. And we were seeing each other because by this time we were a long distance and we were going to see each other, and it was right around like our, we had been dating for 10 months, right around that like anniversary mark. And for some reason, God just laid it on my heart that I should do something for this anniversary. And I made this little like book thing that was talking about being imperfect but still beautiful. And that I spent like the week before this happened, like he told me, working on that. And I think that God used that to help prepare me as much as you can be prepared for hearing this news. I think he used that. And then he told me, and I walked away from him for a while and just remember praying. And I don't really remember what was going through my head at that time, but just knowing that he wasn't the same person that I had, you know, seen who he is now, and that it's not the same of who he was then, and God restores and makes new, and that past is in the past, and I was gonna stay.
Okay. So you obviously moved forward into engagement and then got married. And talk to us a little bit about now and even, you know, immediately after you got married, your decision to have kids. How have you guys, I mean, have you had to wrestle? Were there ramifications of this in the past that even now you've had to grapple with, either you personally, Micah, or you two in your marriage? How have you processed past decisions in light of where you are now?
Do you want to feel this one?
Sure. Well, I didn't want to talk about it, and I didn't want anything to do with it. So I
and I could feel that too, because once we were engaged and married, I felt like, oh, we can kind of grapple with this together. And so, whenever I kind of carefully broached the subject, it was kind of just, yeah, I could feel that you didn't want to talk about it, and it became a very short conversation.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, you know, that was in the past. Let's just forget it. Let's ignore, you know.
Yeah. For whatever reason, it was, if I ignore it, it'll just go away. And obviously that's not true. But that was the first 4 years of our, almost 4 years of our marriage, was we just didn't really talk about it. And I tried not to think about it because it was kind of painful, and
definitely.
And meanwhile, were you having kids of your own?
Not yet.
No. Okay.
Actually, this is funny because we started off with sort of a 5-year plan. We were going to wait about 5 years before having kids.
Okay.
And then we had this, I'd say, just a benchmark conversation that this one Christmas, where Tiffany had gotten received a book from a friend that kind of had a similar story.
It was a fiction story.
It was a fiction story, Christian fiction story, in a similar circumstances.
Yeah. And just reading that, I decided, I was like, oh, I can talk about this and I can ask questions. And for some reason, I didn't, part of why I didn't want to talk about it, because I didn't think I could have questions about it. And yeah, so finally I started asking him questions, and
yeah, we had this great, awesome conversation, and it was just a whole nother level of intimacy that we'd ever had in that first 4 years. And then about 9 months later, we had a child. So
not exactly. It was like 11.
But the funny thing is that
we're doing the math.
5-year plan actually would have ended. Our 5-year anniversary was like September, and then And then our first child was born in October. Okay. So it was almost exactly a 5-year plan.
So Tiffany, would you say your biggest hurdle as far as really being able to kind of open the floodgates and start talking about this, was it the past sexual relationships or was it the baby or just a combination of both? What were you trying to forget?
the baby is the still the hard part for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just how, Micah, when you know that, when you hear that, how do you respond?
I agree. It's the hardest part for me too.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped that I have actually run into some guys who've been in the same situation and are believers, and it's really helped kind of me wrestle with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's definitely the hardest part. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking, I think this was probably like four or five months ago. We were talking about it and she said, do you wish she hadn't had the abortion? Mm-hmm. And that was so hard because obviously on one hand, I definitely wish she hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, I have two kids now who are just beautiful little girls. And I've got this great wife, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, well, what would that have meant? You know? Like, I don't know. And so that's just so hard to grapple with.
Mm-hmm.
It is so hard.
Yeah.
Well,
you and I have actually had a conversation with a mutual friend who has walked through this and talking about how it took him years to accept the fact that he has a son that is not around.
Yeah.
And, you know, just putting a name to that son as he did and putting a face to him and acknowledging that rather than just calling him a mistake as he did for years, you know, is a whole other level of, you know, bringing God, I think, into the equation. And Tiffany, like you're saying, and in a very emotional way, you're invited into that story now too.
Yeah.
And so it really is, you know, and it's weird to think, you know, someday, you know, when we see the Lord and we are reunited, you know, reunited with this baby. I mean, it really is a familial kind of thing to recognize that and reconcile that, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I was one of the times I was just praying about this whole thing and just really aching. And I don't know how biblical this is, but it's just, hey, it happened. So I'm just going to say it. I had just this feeling, overcoming feeling of just God's arms around me and just and sort of a vision almost of God holding a baby and just the implication that he's got the baby and is taking care. And it made me cry so hard, but it was so soothing. And so when I start getting really down about it, I definitely think about that God's just awesome. He's forgiven me and is all over this child.
Yeah. Well, there is so much more of this story that could be told. And obviously, you know, your hearts are so in it on a very deep level. I just wanted to, as we close here, just ask either of you, for someone who's listening, who you know, maybe they're in a sexual relationship, but haven't gotten pregnant, or maybe they have had an abortion, or maybe they are a guy, Micah, who got a girl pregnant and is either, you know, waiting to see what she's going to decide or trying to help her make that decision, or she already made the decision. What's just some encouragement from where you are, from each of your perspectives, about how to trust God in the midst of this, how to look at this situation, you know, you being on this side of it, just any parting advice or encouragement for those who may feel the guilt and shame or the uncertainty surrounding this?
I would just say that God, like I said before, God is awesome. And if he can forgive me, he can forgive you. And that that you're not disqualified from having a beautiful wife and two or more, I don't know, you know, from having just awesome children. Like, you're not beyond saving, you're not beyond forgiveness, and you're not beyond having awesome relationship.
From my perspective and my side of it all, the biggest thing that I struggled with was feeling like it was okay that I struggled with this, that my feelings of pain and hurt were valid, because I came in well after it was all over, you know, and I didn't think that was okay. For, I don't know why I believe that, but I did. And that was another reason it took us so long to really talk about it. But that your feelings are valid and that you should not just keep them inside and go find someone you can talk to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's good advice. And I think that's great advice to close with, just that whole idea of, you know, find, there's so much more hurt when it's kept in the dark. Find someone that you can talk to. Find someone who can pray with you.
Definitely.
Find someone like the Micah and the Tiffany in your life who have gone through this and who are willing to talk about it and willing to be an encourager in the midst of that and say, you know, I like what you said, Micah, that God's not out to sit there. He's not looking for people to punish, you know. He's not sitting there saying, oh, sorry, you no longer deserve, you know, XYZ, you no longer deserve a family, you no longer, but he's in the business of redemption and bringing stories around.
Yeah, I mean, even when we had our first kid, when Tiffany was pregnant, I was scared that God was gonna take the baby, you know, like she would have a miscarriage or something. And I was just paranoid that it was just God was just going to punish me. I know that was just obviously not right. I mean, not biblical at all. And just having our first child was just awesome. And so it was I wouldn't say that just having the kid was redeeming, but it was definitely a affirmation that God was awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness that our standing before God is on his merit and not on ours for any number of reasons, whether or not you have walked through a story like yours or whether or not you have a story of any kind of sinfulness, anything in your past, anything that you've struggled with or not struggled with. God is there and he is faithful. He's consistent.
Definitely.
So thank you too so much for opening up.
Sure. Anytime. Sure.